No question. There are no questions, huh?
Okay.
You have.
My question is, in our practice, we are seeking for the most calm and silent state of mind. And as I remember, when I had the closest state to this silent state of mind, the closest one, it still tasted slightly naturally pleasant, like it was a moment without emotions or thoughts. But it was still slightly sweet.
Slightly what?
Sweet.
Sweet.
If I would describe it later, I will pick up the most picturesque words for this, so that this moment of silence without emotions still feels like a pleasant moment.
Yeah.
So, what is this?
What is the question?
The question is, I was listening to your lectures and my mind was caught by the phrase that we should get rid of the beauty. I mean, we shouldn't be attached to neither disgusting things nor beautiful.
Yeah.
And this moment of silence, it's a very beautiful moment.
Ah, yeah, to this you can get attached. That's not a problem. But in the end, you know, that is a long, long way to go, yeah? Ask Windy. The Lord Buddha said about samadhi, yeah? If we would not have this nice experience of samadhi, where we can relax, where we can recharge our batteries, we would not do the hard work to overcome all the troubles, yeah? So, I mean, we should cherish this, yeah? It's nice. Enjoy it, yeah? I mean, he described it actually in some of the suttas. He said, you know, like, you know, a person coming from the desert, you know, completely dirty, you know, I mean, he's filling in or he's letting in the bath, you know, and he's already of joy because he's going to take a bath. Then he goes into the bath and he enjoys the bath, the water, you know, and the soap, you know, cleaning his body, and then, you know, he relaxes, yeah. I mean, he described it differently. I don't get it anymore. I can't remember how he described it. But something like that, yeah? He said, that is fine, yeah? We need this, yeah? The beautiful, you know, that we attach to, like flowers, you know, or good food and some things, yeah? That is something that we have to overcome. But this beauty is something with us, yeah? Within us, yeah? We cannot get rid of it, yeah? And there's something that we should cherish, yeah? Also, when you look how the Lord Buddha called Nibbana, he said it is the supernatural, you know, happiness. So, and that's what we're working for. Yeah? But the attachment to this fake beauty or to this fake excitement, is that what we have to overcome in order to get there. Yeah. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong to get attached to that, yeah? It is a place where we rest, when we recharge, and when we come out, then we do some work, you know, investigation of the body. And that is, you know, I mean, that is not nice, yeah? And then when we feel, you know, when we feel disheartened, then we go back into samadhi and enjoy the happiness there, or the sweetness, or whatever you call it, yeah? And then go back into to work, yeah? Just like people, you know, in the daily life, I mean, they work for 8 hours in a factory, then they come home and enjoy some good food or some nice conversation so that they can keep up with doing the work, yeah? Okay? Now Steve has a question.
What is the relationship with Anusaya? I say that right? Latent tendencies and karma.
You mean asavas?
Anusaya.
Oh. Please don't ask me any parties. I have no idea. Do you have any idea what anusaya
Latin,
is? What?
Latencies.
I mean, it is a form. Latencies, your characteristic tendencies, is formed by our karma. But they can change, yeah? I mean, they are not obvious. But they make us, you know, they make us decide to do this or to do that, yeah? That is my understanding. We might not be aware of all of our characteristic tendencies. Some of them, they are predominant that we know, but some of them are latent, yeah? We don't see them. So I assume that this is what he means. But this is formed by karma, yeah? But whatever is formed can be destroyed or can be changed. So these latencies, you know, developed through karma, through our lives, can be changed into something that is actually wholesome, yeah, and helps us on the path. Khao chai pasan kip bang me? Pin. Nit noi. Tao khao chai bang thai me?
Bang.
So, now you have a question.
Yes. So, kind of working on the balance between doing and not doing, just kind of resting in samadhi, and then sometimes though, when samadhi really just isn't happening, and difficulties are coming up, in the practice I'm used to, it's just kind of investigate those.
Yeah.
Do you recommend still doing that, or more just kind of trying to go back to?
You will have to, when you want to go into samadhi, yeah? I mean, that is actually not our goal, yeah? To go into samadhi. What is our goal? To stay with the Buddha or stay with the object, yeah? That we take, you know, for instance, the breath, and then samadhi will happen. And but, you know, if we want to rest ourselves, then we do this kind of work that we know that will lead to some sort of rest, yeah? And if there are difficulties coming up, that shows you, you know, I mean, you have to do, yeah? You have to overcome the difficulties. I mean, what are the normal hindrances, yeah? Sloth and torpor is one of the hindrances. Restlessness is one of the hindrances, yeah? And so on, yeah? Or whatever you know, laziness, these are the hindrances that we have to overcome. And we have to overcome them not only for samadhi, but also for investigation. Sometimes we feel good, you know, and samadhi comes very easily. Then we have to overcome, you know, the hindrance of wanting to do some work, you know, going out, you know, and investigating the body, you know. We like to investigate everything else, you know, but we don't like to investigate the body, yeah? Yeah? We like to investigate feelings, but you know, feelings are of fleeting nature, and we really can't investigate them yet, unless we have a stable samadhi. I mean, dukkha vedana is the one feeling that stays on, you know, and that will bother you a lot. So, I mean, that is a good object of investigation. But we all want to know why is this happening. And that is not investigation, yeah? Things are happening, yeah? So we look at the reaction, yeah, of what is happening. Yeah, do we like it, you know, or do we dislike it, you know? And what is it? Why is it, you know? Why do we dislike it, or why do we like it? Yeah, this is something we can investigate. Not why this is happening. This is happening. Why is the cloud now? Yeah, of course, you know, it is there. Yeah. We cannot investigate why the cloud is there, but we can investigate when the cloud is there, what is happening. Okay, the sun is gone, yeah, or rain comes out, or whatever, yeah.
Yes,
yeah. Right. So I would advise, you know, in the beginning, really, until the samadhi becomes really solid, until you really can rest, you know, for half an hour in samadhi where nothing is happening, yeah. And then slowly go on, you know, go on for 1 hour or 2 hours a day, you know, to start investigation. Yeah? Because without this concentration, without this sati, I mean, our investigation doesn't take any fruit, yeah? It is just thinking, yeah? And I mean, you know, in your life, I mean, thinking has never solved any problems, yeah? We know it, but we still do it, yeah? But thinking, investigation is not really thinking, it is asking the questions, yeah? What is behind, you know, what is behind my addiction to this, or what is behind, what is it, you know, what is my loathsomeness, you know, towards this, or, you know, the feeling of anger, yeah? What is behind that, yeah? That is the questions that are there. Or what is behind pain, yeah? What is pain, or what is anger, yeah? How does it feel like? Where is it located? You know, how did it develop? And for that, you know, these kind of questions, you know, and you want to find the answer, and you only find the answer if you put your attention onto the object that you investigate. And we don't like, you know, to investigate, for instance, pain, because we want to get rid of pain. So, I mean, we have to put actually our attention onto the pain and ask this question. What is pain? Is it, you know, is it point-wise? Is it area-wise? Is it in the skin? Is it in the bones? Is it in the tendons? Is it, where is it? You know, is it in the flesh? Yeah. And then also coming up with the answers. I mean, we have flesh since we are born, you know, but we are not always in pain. So what is pain? Yeah. We have tendons, you know, since we are born, but we are not always in pain. And especially, you know, when I get up now from my samadhi, there's no more pain. So, I mean, What kind of pain is this? Yeah, that's what we want to know. That's what we want to understand. That for investigation we have to ask this question. Yeah, or you know the question of the body. You know, when I cut it up, how does it look like? Yeah, or when I take a piece of the body, you know, when I cut it up, you know, how does it look like? You know, and then we take another piece. You know, we take one time we take the liver, then. Then we take the intestines, you know, and all cut it up, you know, and then compare it. Yeah, this kind of investigation. Yeah, the questions. Yeah, but what is it? What is the nature? What is the nature of the body? Yeah? How does the nature of this part of the body differ from the nature of that part of the body? These are questions, you know, and we don't think up the answer, but we look and look and look. Yeah. Until we understand, until the heart understands. So, I mean, investigation is teaching the heart. Yeah? It is like just rip open the heart and have a look at it, you know. Do you understand it now? Yeah. And look at the situation, you understand it now? And the heart instantly says, no. Okay, look again, look again, look again, until you understand. Yeah? And the more sati we have, and the more we actually can observe, you know, what is going on. That is what the sati is. There, we observe what is going on. The better the heart understands. The heart does not need any comments. Yeah, does not need any conclusions. Yeah, because any conclusion that we form will be wrong, will be misleading. That's why we don't need the brain. Yeah? We need the brain only in order to ask the right questions, yeah? And that is sometimes very difficult, yeah? We want to know how the solar system developed, yeah? Or what is going to happen in our world, yeah? We want to understand all sorts of things, yeah? But that is, you know, like I said last time, that is just the nature of avijaya. Wants to know, wants to understand, but is not being able to know or understand in line with the truth. That's why we need the sati, yeah? That's why we need this, the ability to observe something, yeah? Like I sometimes say, you know, like a physicist, yeah? I mean, he puts up an experiment, yeah? And then he watches every slice of the experiment and sees what is happening. He has an idea what might be happening, but he has to understand, you know, which element, you know, triggers on that, what element and what that element does it split up or does it stay on? And so he has to look, you know, every slice of the experiment. If he gets thirsty and grabs a drink, you know, I mean, then he has to start the experiment from the beginning, because he missed the point. And that is with us, investigation. It's just like, you know, I mean, we have a rough idea what is going to happen, but then we have to understand, you know, when this element hits this element, you know, does it split or does it combine and what does it form and what is happening afterwards until the heart understands. That is a tough job, and that's why we need this samadhi, that's why we need this rest, and that's why we need to develop the sati, the power of observance. The sati is, you know, it's just like the flashlight. You want to know what is in the cellar, or in the deepness, in the deep darkness of your heart. Yeah? You need a flashlight, you need a strong flashlight, and the stronger it is, the more you see. And then you don't have to ask the question, what is this? Yeah? I mean, you see it. How can you not see it, you know, if you open your eyes, yeah? But we only use our physical eyes, not our inner eyes. Yeah? And the inner eyes are the sati. Yeah? Okay? Wendy, Gautami, understand? Yeah? So, any more questions?
Yes.
That moment when the heart is completely empty of any preoccupations, that's when we have sati. Yeah. Then you can look, then you can observe. Yeah. But that is difficult. Froni. Yeah?
I have a question. After all these pleasant feelings that you get while you're concentrating, then you better to stay in a dreamy mood?
No dreaming.
And I mean, like you still enjoying, and seems like your sati doesn't really work.
Sati doesn't really work.
Drop down the things or forget spoon twice.
Yeah, but that's not sati, because then your sati is not with what you're doing. Yeah, your sati, you know, I mean, that is not called sati. I mean, your thoughts are somewhere else. Yeah, are with the memory of this nice feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But this nice feeling has gone already. So you hang on this nice feeling, and then of course everything else around you, you know, you forget, yeah? So that is not sati. And we tend to do that, yeah? Every one of us does it, you know, in the beginning. I mean, there's such a nice feeling, and then we think about, you know, for 5-10 minutes or even for an hour, you know, oh, that was such a nice feeling, and then we recall it. But in this hour where we remember this nice feeling, I mean, we don't have any sati.
Yes.
Because it's just a feeling.
Yes.
Yeah.
But this recalling also needs to keep your interest on. To
you can
go into more meditation.
Yes. That, we can help that, yeah? That's where we can use our memory of the pleasant situation, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And also, you know, I mean, if it is difficult, Caleb, if it is difficult, yeah, I mean, we had some nice experience, and then ask ourselves, how did I get there? Because at that time, you know, I didn't want anything, I just wanted to stay with my breath. That's how I got there. Yeah? And now I'm looking for the results, you know, but the results don't come when we don't do the work. Yeah? And the work is, you know, to keep on Buddha, and that is of course boring, you know, because we want the results, yeah? Hmm? Just like we go to university after one semester, we want to have our degree, yeah? Because it's boring, yeah? Oh, so much work, yeah?
So where is the middle way between staying interested and be in the reality?
No, there doesn't need to be a middle way. If you have this interest, then the moment you see there's this interest, yeah, then sit down and meditate or walk Chamgram. Then use it, yeah. I mean, when the interest flares up, you know, we use it, you know, to do something, yeah. Okay?
So you told me once that the pulu and the chitta are the same thing. The one who knows.
Yeah.
Does the chitta, if you get rid of avijja and the defilement, klesha, know everything? Or is the chitta being developed as we go through these stages?
Yeah.
So it doesn't know everything all the time?
No.
It's being developed, yeah, as we learn these things.
Yes. Yeah, just like you learned your profession.
Mm.
Mm. I mean, you didn't know it in the beginning. You didn't know anything at all, and through your exercise, through your training, you started to learn. And then, after you learn, you get even more expertise and more expertise and more expertise by doing it over and over and over again. Yeah, and that's how the same thing is for meditation. Yeah. Meditation is very simple. The rules for meditation or investigation are very simple, yeah? I mean, there's nothing that we have to understand. There's a lot we have to do. And we have to do it over and over and over again until it sticks, yeah? The citta, and normally the puru is the pure citta. It's the citta of an arahant. And what we have is, in our citta, there is, of course, the puru, but we hardly take notice of it, yeah? The one who knows, yeah? Puru is the one who knows, yeah? We hardly take notice of it because, I mean, constantly we think about it, yeah? And this thinking is, you know, is damping, you know, this puru, yeah? So when we stop thinking, this puru can actually come up, yeah? It's part of the citta. But in our citta, there is greed, hatred, delusion, there is also sati, there is dhamma, there is all these things, you know. And we have to get rid of all these things, yeah. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, we just get rid of the kilesas, yeah. If you don't understand, don't even worry about it. There are certain things that in the beginning, we just don't understand, you know. When I was reading some books of Lungda Mahabua, or listened to some of the talks, then I knew, this I understand, this I understand, this I don't understand. I didn't even worry about it. I said, sooner or later you will understand, and then just went over, yeah. And that is what is happening. Through our training, through our practice, sooner or later we will understand, yeah. And then 2 or 3 years later, we listen to the same talk, and now suddenly we understand, yeah? Because of our training leads us there, yeah? Okay? Yeah?
Last question for today for me.
Let's speak up a little bit.
Last question for me for today.
Yeah, okay.
Why the most intelligent and wise one, Lord Buddha, as soon as he reached Nirvana, he didn't decide to stay there, neither he decided to become a Sikh or ascet, but he had to come back to the world and the family to spread up the treasures he found within his practice and heart. What is the role of compassion on the way of person who wants to be freed and awakened?
What is the role of compassion? The role of compassion is very, very small along the path. But the compassion becomes stronger and stronger the more you develop. So in the beginning, I mean, you have compassion, of course, with the people around you, and you have to compassion also with the animals around you, yeah? You don't kill them, you don't harm them, I mean, you keep the five precepts. That is some sort of compassion, yeah? The compassion of the Lord Buddha, I mean, in the beginning, you know, he didn't want to teach, yeah? He said, who will understand this, you know? I mean, it's so crazy, you know? I mean, people will laugh at you, yeah? But then he realized, you know, I've worked myself along a path, yeah? And this path I can describe. So if people will follow the path that I, you know, that I teach, yeah, then they will be able to understand. It's the same thing, you know, if you, if you go to university in a very difficult matter, you know, in a difficult subject, yeah, and you get at the entrance of your university exam, the entrance is the last question, you know, they ask, you know, the people who make their master degree or doctor degree, I mean, then you say, what, I don't understand this, yeah? But then they say, okay, you know, if you go first semester, second to eighth semester, or maybe tenth semester, then you will understand. And then you will see, if you go this path, you will understand. Yeah? And so is it with people. You know, Lungta Mahabodh said the same thing. Nobody will understand, you know, if I teach them that. And then, you know, a few days later he said, you know, I mean, I didn't fall from the heavens, yeah? I mean, I was born as a human being, I went the path, yeah? And this path I can teach. Yeah? And that's what he did. The path that he went, you know, I mean, the path of investigation, the path of samadhi, yeah?
What were the things that let him come back from the heaven?
He didn't come back from the heaven, you know, that would be a wrong thing, yeah? I mean, they don't normally go in Nibbana because, I mean, our body stays on, yeah? But he's in Nibbana. When he enters Nibbana as an arahant, he is always in Nibbana. I mean, he doesn't have any dukkha anymore except the dukkha of the body. Yeah? So, I mean, you can say things to him, you can hurt him, you know, you can try to harm him. I mean, he doesn't really care. Yeah? But this is something that we really cannot grasp the idea. But, of course, you know, if a snake bites him, you know, or Lungta Mahabodh, you know, there was a scorpion that bite him, you know, I mean, it hurts. Of course, you know, I mean, he has a body, you know, everybody has a body, it hurts, yeah? And that is also what the Lord Buddha teaches, yeah? I mean, as long as we have a body, I mean, shall he kill himself, you know, when he's in Nibbana? Yeah? But there are some arahants, you know, who never actually went out, you know, they stayed in their forest, you know, kept in samadhi, you know, until they died away, yeah? But he had the opportunity, he had developed the skill of teaching others, yeah? Just like the Lord Buddha, I mean, there's actually, you know, there's a Pacheka Buddha, a silent Buddha, who just, you know, who just finds the way to Nibbana by himself, and then he stays, you know, outside, you know, of all the society just by himself, yeah? But does that help you? See? And the Lord Buddha, you know, he's not a silent Buddha, you know, he started teaching. And of course, you know, this teaching is and it's not a joy, yeah? Especially if you see, you know, how unintelligent, you know, these people are, you know, on their way. Not, I don't mean, you know, intelligent in the way of the world, intelligent in the way of Dhamma, yeah? We are rather stupid. I like what Lungta said about, you know, people who studied very, very high, yeah? I mean, a doctor, you know, he's a dog. I mean, the more you study, the more stupid you become. And I liked that actually, even though I studied, you know, but I saw it with a lot of my colleagues, you know. I mean, the more stupid we become in the ways of the world, yeah, or in, especially in the ways of Dhamma. Because the more we got, you know, the more we develop our ego, who we are, why we are, how smart we are, and so on. And the smarter we think we are, the more stupid we are, actually. Not in that field, but, you know, in every other field. And the problem is that, you know, even if we study, you know, to be a doctor, you know, we can't apply this, you know, to Dhamma, because this kind of study is completely different. It doesn't use our intellect, it uses the ability of the citta. Yeah? And this is something that we have not, especially in the West, we have not developed in the West. All what we developed is our brain, you know, our memories and our ability to think, you know, think in certain ways, yeah? But we have not developed that, the abilities of the heart, you know, just to look, to observe, you know, to know, yeah? And that is what makes it very difficult for us, yeah? I mean, we can think about anything, we can read the suttas of the Buddha, and then we think, ah, oh, this is like this, this is like this, this forms this, this forms this, and from that. Oh, okay, I'm finished, yeah? But nothing, you know, the kilesas are still in there, yeah? We have taught them as well, you know, everything about the Buddha's teaching, and then they come up, you know, say, oh, we are finished, you know, I mean, now we want this, yeah? And where is this wanting coming from, yeah? I mean, when you're finished, there's no more wanting, yeah? Okay?